Well, it's good to be back after a week off. And last week, I almost didn't feel like I was totally gone. Pulled out the phone. This is where live stream is fun. And while we had some reception driving through Montana, was watching and kind of connecting last week. So thank you, Pastor Ryan, for filling in and being a part of that. And so good to be here back and excited to start a new series this morning about the life of Abraham. And hopefully you're going to learn something new during this series, but here's what I'm hoping most of all, that we're going to be able to learn together and find out together in our journey with Christ. And that is, what God wants to do in you is more important than what God wants to do through you. See, a lot of times, can I tell you what happens with Abraham? Abraham's like the father of our faith. So this is the guy we look at and we say, but God had to bring a nation forth, right? And then he had to bring Jesus forth so we could be saved, and the cross and everything. We tend to just think God just takes this pawn named Abraham and just uses him to accomplish his purpose. All throughout these narratives that some of you are going to be very familiar with, I want you to see what God wants to do in Abraham. So perhaps you would say, what God wants to do in me? I think that's a great question you should be asking. Some of you getting ready to go to camp this coming week, okay? Some staff are heading down tonight to get things ready. Campers heading tomorrow. This is a great question you should ask going to camp. What does God want to do in me this week? Especially sometimes we get, you know, staff and we got things to do and we've got kids to lead and we've got devotions to do and we got to figure out how to keep all the teens in the room at night, right? So they're not out pulling pranks and other things. We got all these different things to do. And sometimes we just lose track and we say, okay, God, you got to use me to get a hold of these kids. And what we forget is, what does God want to do in me? What does God want to do in me? So this whole series, I hope we discover that together. That what God wants to do in you is more important than what God wants to do through you. And God has something great to do in you. And I hope that you understand that. Okay, here's one of my questions. So Genesis chapter 12 is where this whole story really of Abraham starts. And we're told something right off the bat in verse number 4 of chapter 12. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Anybody want to know what happened before that? Anybody go 75, okay? I think you had a lot of life before you left Haran and you began to move forward to what God was calling you to do. What happened before that? But most of us, do we ever think about that? Do we ever start with that? Our tendency and my tendency is I start with chapter 12. Here's God's call. There goes Abram. He goes out to the place where God has called him. That's where he's headed. And I don't think what happened before that. And so if we could start somewhere today, I just want to kind of help us understand a couple things that happened before that day that we're going to look at next week, before that moment, before that took place. And then we're going to learn some lessons from that, because that's the most important thing. What is the personal application we're taking as we're opening up God's word and as we're reading it and as we're learning it together? So I'm going to give you some things that scripture tells us. I'm going to tell you one thing from Jewish history that we find and that we learn about Abram. First one is this. Abraham grew up in a family who worshipped idols. Maybe you didn't realize that. Maybe thought, oh, here's a guy, you know, he's just living a life, following God. And then one day God calls him out. No, in fact, that's not the case at all. Abraham grew up in a family that worshiped idols. Now, how do we know this? Joshua tells us this. Because when Joshua begins his speech about reminding the people, you have a choice to make. Are you going to follow God or are you just going to follow some other God in this nation that we are a part of? Who are you going to follow? Who are you going to serve? And then he makes that big impassioned speech. At the end, he says what? Me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Do you know what he tells us in that speech? He tells us that including Terah, the father of Abraham, and Nahor, they worshipped other gods. They worshipped other gods. They had idols. They had other gods that they worshipped. And that is the life that Abraham grew up in. That is the family structure in which he found himself. And everything was about family. And the family you lived in was the family you served. You served whatever gods they served. You were part of that family. And so you got to understand, in chapter 12, we're going to get to when God calls him out of that. So he's calling him out of. Leave the idols, leave the gods. I know that's the way you grew up. I know that's the way your daddy taught you about these idols. We're going to leave all of that behind. And I have something brand new to do in your life. And sometimes we just got to start with that. We need to remember where he came from, what family he grew up in, and what it was like for him before that moment where God called him out. And God said, leave all of that behind because I have something incredible in store for you. Abraham married a woman, second thing, who was barren. Now, this is everything again in the ancient world. Okay, everything in the ancient world. Here's what we read. But Sarai was barren. She had no children. And Abraham, who is the oldest in his family, according to how Scripture lays out his family, he's the oldest. He gets to choose. When his brother dies, again, you got to understand culture. Don't be like, that's weird. Okay, that's odd. I don't know if we would ever do that today. But when his brother dies, his brother leaves behind children. Abraham marries one of his nieces. His brother marries another one of the nieces. And then Abraham kind of adopts his nephew, Lot, and that becomes their family. So he gets the first choice. He's the oldest. And he chooses to do something that nobody else in that culture did. You need to understand how Sarai was viewed in that culture. Worthless and useless. If she can't give us kids, she is worthless and she is useless. Why would you ever do anything with her? Abraham chooses that over what he could have chosen. I mean, he's a patriarch, isn't everything about being a father? Now think about that. What's the one word we put in front of Abraham? Father. He purposefully marries a woman he knows cannot have children. And yet today, what do we remember him as? A father. It's amazing when you begin to read this and study this. Wow, this is what happened. This is what took place. Because he was able to see beyond, there's a woman who has no productivity. She has nothing to offer. And see what somebody else saw in her. And he gave her value and worth and significance in that moment. Putting everything on the line. His entire legacy, his entire heritage, his entire genealogy, he puts it all on the line to value somebody that nobody else valued in their culture. That right there is a huge lesson for us when we're studying the life of Abraham. Now let me give you something for what Jewish history tells us. Now this is why I normally remind everybody. I love to do this because there are people, and Josephus is one that I like reading. Not everybody likes reading Josephus. Some of you would be like, this is good reading on a night I can't sleep, okay? Because this will put you to sleep. You'd be like, oh my goodness, I don't know if I could handle it. But Josephus was a Jewish historian. And one of the things he did was wrote antiquities. And so a lot of them read like the book of Genesis, okay? A lot of them read that way. And yet some of them will offer some details that you're like, that's really interesting. And here's what I always remind you. As long as it doesn't contradict Scripture, we can look and say, okay, I'm prefacing this. This comes from Jewish history and a Jewish historian, but there's something very interesting about this. So I want to pick out one of these things because I think it's really interesting based on something that happens in the life of Abraham, okay? And that is this. Abraham was an astronomer. Now, in 2 weeks, we're going to look at his trip to Egypt, okay? This is the trip where he lies about his wife and gets into a lot of trouble in Egypt. But part of the reason, okay, according to Josephus, that he went to Egypt was to teach the Egyptians about the celestial things, astronomy, and mathematics. Now, we're going to reach a point in Abraham's life. Do you know what God does to him? He says, Abraham, come outside and look up. And he says this to a guy who's been doing that his entire life. Look up, count the stars, right? Because what I am going to do through you and ultimately, first of all, in you is going to be amazing and incredible. So I always thought, oh, he just took him outside and said, look up. You know, everybody does that. No, he took the field this guy had been studying his entire life. and then used it to say, I'm going to teach you something you never thought you would learn, learning all about these celestial beings. Never thought you'd learn this, but I want to teach you this because this is going to be incredible for us to learn. So those are just a couple things that we know. We don't know a whole lot before 75, but wouldn't that be weird if you just knew somebody from 75 on, okay, and didn't know anything about their early life, anything about what had happened before? You just started from then on. It would be really odd and different. So I thought it'd be good for us to stop and reflect on those things today as we get ready to dive into this series. So here's the most important part. Okay, that was great. That was interesting. Some of you might walk away and go, well, that was a cool fact. I don't know what I'd ever do with it, but, you know, that's 4,000 BC. Ed, this is 2021. Maybe you forgot about that. What on earth does that mean for us? So can I give us some lessons this morning that I really want us to walk away with, knowing this little bit about Abraham's life before 75 and what was happening in him? Okay, here we go. Number one, if you are not dead, you are not done. Amen. 75. I'm not going to ask you who's 75 in the room or older, okay? I'm just telling you what our culture does. Oh, you're old? And we don't need more. We need young, exciting, right? We need all that. And we just kind of shove people aside who could offer us some incredible wisdom and some insight. And we've bought into that culture. Oh, I'm a certain age. I'm done. I'm retired. Now, there are seasons of life where God has you doing different things because of those seasons, because of your gifts. But you need to know, if you're not dead, you're not done, that God has a purpose for you and a reason for you. We don't get this in our culture. So this is where we've really got to think against what everybody's told us, right? Just retire, go sit on a beach, and drink stuff with umbrellas in it, okay? That's what you're told. And I'm telling you, it's a lie. 75, God calls him out to do what needed to be done to start a nation, to ultimately bring Jesus. And he wanted to do something incredible in the life of Abraham. So I'm telling you this morning, anybody who thinks your retirement, God can't use me, God's got a bunch of other people to use, no. God wants to use you. Maybe not in the same way he did at 20 years old. You're like, I don't have the energy for that, okay? I don't think I'm called to work with teenagers anymore, okay? I'm not sure about that. That's fine. But you have a purpose. You have a mission. Amen. You have things that God wants you to do. In fact, and I am so glad now, one of the things that COVID messed up was I was unable to go to Good Sam. I've been going to Good Sam doing Bible studies on the fourth Wednesday, I don't know, since my son was born. I mean, it's been a long time, a long, long time that I've been going there. And that stopped. That stopped actually in January of 2020 because they said, we got to shut this place down. And so finally, the fourth Wednesday of May, and I've been able to go May and June now. It's just been great. I got to go back. And I'm like, this is fun. And part of the reason it is fun for me, because too many of those people think, I'm done. I have nothing to offer. I have nothing to do. And part of what I've got to remind them quite often, no, you're not done. Some of you have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Are you praying for them? Okay? Are you asking God to save them and to rescue them? What are you doing? And nobody teaches them this. Everybody teaches them what? Well, we just got to make them happy until they're dead. No, what God has a purpose for them. God has a purpose for them. So I love it that I'm able now to go back to something that we miss. But I'm telling you, this is the message of culture that we have got to push back against, okay? So all of you in the room, okay, who think, oh, I must be done, you are not done. God has a purpose for you. Might not be the same purpose as it was 20 years ago, but he has something for you to do. He is working within you. He is doing something great in you. Don't ever forget that, and don't ever relegate yourself to a shelf because I'm too old. I've hit a certain age. I started getting mail from AARP, so I must be done. Don't go there. Don't think that. anymore. Okay? Number two, value the things God values. Can I tell you, the idol-worshipping Abraham saw Sarai and said, but she has worth beside her abilities to bear children. He saw value in her. Nobody else saw value in her. Nobody did. Okay? Abraham should have picked first. He should have picked the niece that could bear him children. Okay? That's what he should have done. Okay? And looked at his brother and said, well, guess your name's not going anywhere. You're done. Okay? That's what he should have done. That's what everybody told him to do. Except he chose not to. In fact, what's fascinating in the Genesis narrative, okay, the two instances before Abraham where people cared about their name, okay, the first is Cain, the second is at the Tower of Babel where they care about their name, and we need to make a name for ourselves. And the guy who chose it to go totally against culture and say, no, I'm going to find value and worth in something the culture doesn't, guess what? He's the only name we actually remember now. And God comes to him and says, you substituted all of that. Abraham, I am going to make your name great. You are going to be remembered for generations. That's just amazing. Why don't we start valuing the things that God values? And I'm telling you, they're far different at times from what people around you are valuing and telling you to value and telling you to put worth on or significance and value. Some of you have questioned your own value because of the circumstances of your birth. And the problem is that doesn't dictate who you are. That doesn't dictate your value. That doesn't dictate what God can do and wants to do in your life. What we do, we don't recognize that value. And we don't value the things somehow at times that God values. And so we just end up kind of drifting and going along with cultural things that we shouldn't, but we just forget. God is looking for people to partner with who value the things that he values. And what if we just started looking at everybody else with value, significance, and purpose because they were created in the image of God? How about we start there for this week, okay? That every single person you run into at work, at Walmart, I don't care how annoying they are, I don't care how much you want to avoid them, okay? They were made in the image of God. They're worth significance and value. What if we just start doing that? There's our one challenge for the week. Let's just make that a value, that we're going to do that. And we're going to see how God takes that and totally changes our perspective and changes the way we interact with people because they were made in the image and likeness of God. We have a culture that devalues. What if we start valuing things that God values? Number three, with God, or we would say from the cross in Christ, our past never defines our future. Can you believe that God chose a man who's been worshiping idols for 75 years? Okay? That's who God chooses to start everything through and do everything by. Is that guy. Now we would look and say, God, I think you should choose somebody different, okay? I think 75 years, it's probably pretty ingrained with him. I worship this idol. This is what gives me food. This is what provides for me. And you're going to use him. And this happens all the time. We let our past define our future for us and what we can do and what we can't do. And those are hard places to be. And I'm telling you, that is not true in Christ. That's just not true. You've got to see yourself as God's created you and that you have significance and worth. And that, yes, some of you have stories. Some of you have some very painful stories about your life. And our tendency in the church is to bury stories, hide stories. Let's not talk about that. Instead, what you're going to find in the life of Abraham is this whole concept of redeem. That God redeems stories. That God does something amazing in stories. Probably before you came here this morning, what little you knew about Abraham, you didn't know he was an idol worshiper most of his life. You just know what God has done. You only know the end of his story. You only know what God's done in him, then ultimately did through him. you didn't know the rest. Once we begin to know the past, we're like, oh, wow, really? God, you did that? You used that? Absolutely. That means all of you are off the hook for thinking that your past somehow defines what you're able to do in the kingdom of God. Yeah, but if you knew what I did, no, it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter. In Christ, it doesn't matter. God redeems everything if we allow him to. If we allow him to. But you have to allow him to. You have to allow him to. Because see, if we're honest, what competes against us? It's that other voice that tells us, no, that event, that circumstances, that conviction, that crime, that thing always ends up defining us as who we are. It always ends up defining us. Because that's what the enemy loves us to do. You know why? Because if he can get us to convince that is who we are, he shelves us. He takes away our story, he puts us on a shelf, and we are no use to the kingdom of God. So stop listening to him. It doesn't matter. Because with God, our past never defines our future. Jesus gets to define our future and what he wants to do in our lives. Final one, God isn't looking for perfection, but willingness. Okay, I hope you get that from Abraham's story, because you're going to see a guy who messes up quite a bit. You're going to see a guy who doesn't know how to trust the story, as most of us have problems doing, trusting the story of what God is doing in our lives. We struggle with that, trusting the story. Well, Abraham does too, okay? I'll give you a little preview in a couple weeks. After he's told, you're going to be a great nation, right? I'm going to do great things to you. I'm going to bless you. Abraham begins to look at himself and go, wait a minute. I'm in trouble. I have no kids, okay? I don't know. I have some wealth, but not great wealth. What am I going to do? And he connives a plan to go to Egypt to try to get the things to make him into what he thinks God wants him to be, okay? So he makes a lot of mistakes along the way. He makes a lot of mistakes. He begins to take things into his own hands and says, oh God, I don't know, okay? She's old, she's not having kids anymore. I'm not sure what you're gonna do here, okay? And he begins to scheme and he begins to work, and you're gonna find an Abraham, you're gonna find a story that's very raw, very real, of a guy who's struggling to figure out, this is what God has promised me, but I don't know how I get to that point, okay? And so he took a lot of detours along the way getting to that point of what God wanted to do in him and ultimately through him. And so I want you to understand that. God isn't looking for perfection because none of us are perfect. The only perfect person was Jesus, okay, who died and ascended into heaven and is sitting at the right hand. That's what you need to know. That's the only person that's perfect. We're not, okay? That means we give each other what God gives us. What's that? Grace. Don't we need it? We all need it. And if we start giving what God gives us, that grace, we help each other when we are far from perfect, as we will always be. But here's Abraham. He's going to be ready next week, and you're going to see that in chapter 12. He's going to be ready to go out to the place where God has called him to go, to start walking and to ultimately just stop when God says stop. And the narrative's incredible. The story's incredible. This individual just started following God, and God wanted to do something incredible in him. So, back to our statements. You're going to hear this quite often throughout the series, that what God wants to do in you is more important than what God wants to do through you. So here's my question for you this morning. What does God want to do in you? What does God want to do in you? Okay, let's start with our campers this week. What does God want to do in you? Start with our staff. What does God want to do? No. And I got a role at camp, okay? I got a role. I've got a dorm. I've got responsibilities. I'm in the office. I'm doing all these different things. I'm leading. I'm directing. I've got all these things to do. Okay, so I just need God to just kind of take me and use me as a little, you know, joystick and get pulled strings and get me to do what I need to do this week. Okay, I need to do something through me. And God's saying, you know what I really like to do? I'd like to do something in you this week. I want to do something in you this week. The same goes for the rest of us. Same goes for the rest of us. As you go to work, as you live your life, telling you God wants to do something in you. And are you going to be open to what God wants to do in you this week? Instead of just hoping he does something through you or uses you for something, he actually wants to do something in you. So as we pray this morning, we get ready to worship one more time this morning, we're just going to ask God to help us to be open to what he wants to do in us, that we would see it, that we would be aware of it, and that we would embrace what he wants to do in us, not just what he wants to do through us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that the beginnings, the look at Abraham before we start with the parts we know, would greatly encourage us, would remind us of some great truths, would help us to see this individual that you wanted to do something great in. Father, forgive us when we just look at individuals like Abraham. We look at ourselves and we just want you to do something through us when you're more importantly wanting to do something in us. So, Father, I pray for those going to camp this week, they would ask that question. I pray for those going to work tomorrow morning and tomorrow night to ask that question. Pray for those with other responsibilities this week. Would you help us to ask that question? Because I know you want to do something great in us. And I pray we'd be open to that. We'd be receptive to that. And we would ask you to come and do something incredible in our lives this week. May we live it out. May we be who you've called us to be. May we be reminded of what you want to do in us. And may we allow you to do that. For our good and for your glory. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.